Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter 3 again. We're going to read the same passage we read this morning. I'm going to kind of preach part 2 of what I preached this morning. I'm not going to even review this morning's sermon. You won't need it for tonight, but let me challenge you. If you missed it, go online and listen to it. 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to read verses 6 through 11 together. 1 Peter 3, verses 6 through 11. And let's read this passage responsively. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 6 through 11. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrawise blessing, knowing that there are thereunto called, and that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. And let's pray, Father, help me tonight. Help me to help your people. Lord, you want us to enjoy life. You want us to enjoy the relationships of life. And God, I pray that tonight you would help us learn how to do that, please. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to be a little personal at first, not terribly so, but I want to pull out, this morning we taught on, is it even possible, that is for husbands and wives, men and women, to be all of one mind when we're so different, but we can do that. This evening, we're going to pull that little line out of verse number 10, he that will love life and see good days. I call this loving life and seeing good days at home. My wife and I enjoy life. I don't know how else to say that. Good night. I've been 50 for quite a while now, almost 52. She's not far behind me, and I won't tell you how far behind me she's not. But we love life. You know, I'm to the... I'm not going to love it as much after church, but, you know, we've learned to enjoy the things of life. Some things are good. Some things are not as good. Some things are difficult. Some things are joyous. And honestly, and if you'll listen to this statement, man, I could help you with something. My wife really doesn't know the load I carry because I don't tell her. We were talking the other day, and we were talking about hundreds of dollars or $50 or something like that. And she was a little, and I just happened to chuckle. She said, "What are you laughing about?" I said, "Honey, between the church loan, our house loan, and what we've already put into the church, it's about $1.2 million. I said, $50 doesn't mean squat to me right now." And she was like, "I don't know how you do it." She said, "I get ill thinking about that." I said, "I'm past getting ill. I got sick a long time ago over it. I'm done being sick, you know." It's just, I don't tell her the load I carry just because it's not hers to carry. It's mine. But we've learned how to enjoy life. Why is it that many people endure life and not enjoy it? Marriage is not something to be endured. It's to be enjoyed. It's to be loved. I don't mean this unkindly, but man, I love being married. And I love being married to my wife and nobody else's. We just have learned to love life. We loved rearing our kids, but we're loving the fact that we don't have them to rear anymore. We are enjoying being home. I enjoy being able to be at home, and I don't have to worry about all the confusion and the arguing and the fussing and the running around and the breaking of things, unless it's me breaking it, and all that kind of stuff. Now, God wants us to love life, and the Bible says, see good days. too many people focus on the bad days and wonder why they don't love life. It doesn't say every day is going to be a good day. But it says to love life and see good days. We think if everything doesn't go well and we don't get a pay raise every day, and if we don't get $100,000 checks in the mail or whatever every day, that it wasn't a good day. Did you know you can have a good day when it's raining and snowing outside? Because we had four visitors, two saved. One of them was a dad and a daughter that got saved. A guy that Joe Heaney knew from high school. And God knows that was a miracle just to get him here if he knew Joe Heaney. And honestly, you ask Joe, it was a miracle the guy showed up. He met him at Sheets this week. And he just said, the Holy Spirit said, talk to him. And he said, I talked to him, invited him to church. They started talking about it, and he was interested. And then he started texting Joe about the address and things. And he showed up this morning and got saved.
Awesome.
Can I tell you something? It can rain and snow all day long. And if we're going to get that again, I'm ready for it.
Amen.
And I hate snow.
Amen.
I just don't enjoy it. Now, let me say this. It doesn't have to be beautiful, pretty outside to have a good day. Marriage is not a 50-50 deal. It's a 100-100 deal. Most marriages fail, and I'll tell you why, because it's 50-50. Your half, my half. Marriage is supposed to be 100-100%. It's 100% her, 100% me, putting it together to make 100% us. And that's what it is. If you want to love life and see good days, you're going to have to do it God's way, not your way.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? Everybody look at me for a second. Don't you think the God that created life and the God that created man and woman, don't you think the God that is the source of all love knows more about it than we do?
Yes, he certainly does.
Why is it then that we won't listen to him when we say, well, it didn't work for me? Could be that you're not following the plan. Did you know home can be a haven? It doesn't have to be a battleground. One of the sweetest words to me is home. It is. I love that word. I love every day when I leave to go home, man, I get into a different mode. I leave work behind. My drive home is to put the office behind me and walk through the door and be home. And, Mom, yes, I take my tie off. All right? It's usually, other than my suit coat, the first thing to come off. All right? Now, home doesn't have to be a battleground. It doesn't have to be a place you dread going. Does that mean everything at home is always pleasant? No, the grass is going to need mowed. The kids are going to need whipped. The pipes are going to need fixed. The wife's going to need this, and you're going to need to do that. There's always things to do. But may I say this, that's part of life, and you might as well enjoy it.
Yes.
Now, I want every person to enjoy life and see good days in your home. Now, all that being said, no human is perfect.
Right.
None. The old saying goes, sunshine every day makes a desert.
Yes.
And if you've never been in the real desert, you don't know what I'm talking about. I've been out in White Sands Desert, New Mexico. I've been out in Phoenix and Tucson and Southern California, been through Death Valley. You talk about desert when you don't see nothing but sand. I mean, if you see anything that's growing, it's a miracle. I mean, nothing but sand. You might see a little weed or a little piece of sagebrush growing every half mile or so, and that's it. I mean, just bleak. Nothingness. I guess, and I'm wired different. I understand that. The weather doesn't affect my attitude. It really doesn't. And I can get short with people when it does because I don't understand that like they do. It really doesn't affect me. It doesn't matter to me if it's dark all the time or light all the time. Doesn't matter to me if it's raining or if it's sunshine. Doesn't matter if it's snowing. Well, that does because I got to shovel that. But it really doesn't affect me a whole lot. Hot, cold, this, that. You say, why? Because I don't base my life on what the weather is. my attitude is from within, not from without. And if you'll make your attitude at home from within and not what's going on around it, it sure will change your life. God does not... good, let me say it this way. Good does not mean flawless and perfect. Good does not mean flawless or perfect. Because if it means that, nobody's having a good day.
Right.
Nobody. Because we're all sinners. Good means savory or something that tastes well. You know, every once in a while, something tastes good. My wife made deer roast today. It tasted good. Can I tell you why? She put some onions in there and a little bit of salt and pepper. I don't know what else she put in it, but Lord have mercy, it was good stuff. It tasted good. It was savory. Now, God wants us to love life and see good days. Not perfect days, not flawless days, but good days. Now, it doesn't say that every day is good. Let me say that again. God didn't say, it's all right, everybody look at me. Ooh, yeah, get him out fast. What's that? Now, everybody look at me for a second. God doesn't say that every day is going to be good. But he said we could see good days. Do you know when you're having a bad day, you can still see a good day coming? You can look back at what a good day was? When I'm having a bad day, I usually go back and count how many people have been saved in recent weeks. I don't know about you, but I stand here this morning, and I was watching Brother Stoltz stand here and win Dan to Christ. I was looking at my wife sitting back there watching my wife win his daughter to the Lord, and I was about ready to run out of this room and have a spill and run around the building. There's nothing sweeter than watching people get saved. I didn't preach on salvation, but the Holy Spirit got a hold of them. They just need to hear the truth. That man was so ready to get saved, it wasn't even funny. I think they both simultaneously raised their hand wanting to get saved. And it was just boom. Explosive. I was like, hoorah. I leaned over to Brother Stoltz. I said, invitation started looking at my wife and she's grabbing her Bible. You say, why? Because I knew they was going to get saved. Man, I watched Brother Stoltz talk to that man. He was just as intent as could be. Put his hand on Brother Stoltz's Bible and trusted Christ as a Savior. Whew, man, is about to have a spill. Now, if that don't light your fire, your wood's wet. I don't care if it was snowing, raining. I don't care if it was a hurricane. That was worth the whole day right there.
Yes,
good night. You say, well, it was nasty out there. Yeah, but we were having fun on the inside.
Amen.
Just because it was bad outside, it doesn't mean every part of the day was good. But that sure was good. Lunch sure was good. Amen. Maybe there's a snack after church. Who knows? Maybe I can recover this thing. Amen? No. Now, we may have to look back or look ahead, but we can see good days. God doesn't command us to do something without telling us how to do it and making a way for us to do it.
That's right.
Now, God gives us a little formula. Now, this morning, and by the way, this is all in reference to marriage in our homes. So he gives us a little formula here. There's about, I think four things here that I want to give you, and four or five things, and I'll be done tonight, I promise you. Number one, God says, refrain your tongue from evil. That means this. Don't talk about things that are evil. Don't talk about things that are destructive. God says, refrain your tongue from evil. Now, I'm going to make a statement about this that might shock you. That means you shouldn't down-talk yourself all the time. We have too many people that won't forgive themselves because of mistakes. Can I tell you something? Quit being evil to yourself. Forgive yourself and go forward. That means quit down-talking your family. Your brother, your sister, your aunt, you got... I'm trying to think of a name, you know, Aunt Jezebel, or whatever, you know how bad she is, and we've got this coming up. You know, why do we talk about those things? Everybody knows what she's going to be. Why talk about it? Y'all know what I'm talking? Anybody got anybody in your family like that? I know I do. Now, why do we have to go home and complain about all the weird people at work? Sure way to not have a good day at home is go talk about all the stupid people at work. Now, I don't have anybody stupid at work, amen? Whew. She's in the nursery. It didn't matter. I didn't even know she wasn't in here right now. But may I say this? I don't go home and tell my wife about all the stupid people I dealt with all day long. I had fun yesterday. I was out making visits and doing some soul winning and things, and I had to stop. I was trying to find those stupid 100 grand bars. I went to 5 stinking stores before I looked on my phone to find out where I could find those things. Well, every store I went to, I'd be walking up, and of course it's blowing cold, and there's... At every store, there was 2 old ladies walking across the parking lot, headed to the door ahead of me. And I picked up my pace to get there, opened the door. They said, well, we got to get a cart. That's okay, I'll wait here. And the wind's going. And I was at one store, and these 2 old ladies, they were so cute. They said, it's just so nice to see a young man that understands manners. I said, ma'am, can I take my phone out and get your picture saying that? She said, what for? I said, just to hear somebody call me young again. She said, well, compared to us, you're really young. And I got to laughing. They got to laughing. And they thanked me about 3 different times as they're going through the door. And after they got in the door and after I walked through the door and was walking away, they were, thank you again. I thought to myself, man, that was fun. Yeah. I thought, how sad. And I almost wondered, they were old enough, maybe they had lost their husbands in death, and it's been a while. Who knows? But can I tell you something? It made my day, especially because they called me young.
Amen.
Yeah, buddy. I thought maybe we ought to compare AARP cards or something, you know? Now, wait a minute. Yeah, it was fun. Can I tell you something? Something so simple as that can be fun. I did it in another store. I did it in another store. And there was a crabby old lady working the cash register. You say, how do you know she was crabby? Because she was, wah, 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 wah. You left that door hanging open way too long. It's cold up here. I said, ma'am, I had 2 old ladies walking through the door. Hush. Those old ladies looked at me. And she looked at me. I said, ma'am, if it was you, I'd have held the door open. I said, isn't it right to be kind? She didn't say a word. She just put her head down. There was a guy standing there, young guy. He's probably in his 20s. He said, man, did you put her in her place? I said, I didn't mean to. He said, oh, you did good. That was fun, too. I mean, you know, can I tell you something? Just learn to forgive people and go forward. Learn to leave work at work. Take your drive home and enjoy thinking about going home. Good night. Go home and forget about the idiots because you don't have to put up with them till the next day. Amen, Brother Mike? Gossip is being evil. That's talking evil. Spreading bad or negative truth helps nobody. That's the news media. I'm going to say this. Be careful how much news you watch and listen to, and even if it's Fox, because it's just about as bad anymore. Why do we want to talk about hurting people? That's why I get up and say, if somebody makes a mistake in our church, we're not going to get up and tell everybody all the bad stuff that they did.
Right.
You say, why? That's not going to help anybody.
Right.
What good does it do? Do you want us to talk about your sin for a while? It always cracks me up. I hear these preachers say, well, there are certain sins that need to be exposed. Show me in that book which those sins are.
Yeah. Yes, sir. That's right.
God gives us no list in there of what sins need exposed.
Yeah, that's right.
Not one. They're trying to play God.
Amen.
Ouch. Don't speak it so that others don't have to hear it. Your wife doesn't need you talking evil about the people at work. You're tearing her down. Ladies, your husband doesn't need you talking evil about your kids, because then he's going to pop their head off and you're going to wonder why he's such a mean daddy. Ouch. Okay, moving on. Number two. Next part says, lips that speak no guile. Guile, young people, listen to me. Boys and girls, teenagers especially. The word guile is the word decoy, deceit, trickery. That's misleading words. That's words that cause misleadings. We're not to speak in order to mislead our parents or our husband or our wife or anybody else. Can I tell you something? Just tell the whole truth. You know, we have a way of flavoring it so it doesn't hurt us as bad. Teenagers are real good at this so that they can get what they want. Leaders and parents need to learn to work together. If kid A comes to dad and says, "Daddy, can I do this? Mom said it was okay." Before dad says yes, he ought to go talk to mom and find out what was told mom first. Learn to work together, not make a decision, and now they go back and say, "Well, dad said I could, and you said I couldn't, so I'm going to do it dad," and they play both sides in the middle. That's called guile. All right? if one of the young people talks to Brother Stoltz, I always, and they'll say, "Well, I was talking to Brother Stoltz about this." I always say, "What did he say?" Whether I agree with it or not, I'll tell him to do what Brother Stoltz said. Say why? Because I'll back his authority. I may go to him later and say, "I don't think we got to say that next time. Let's do this next time. But just so you know, I backed you on this one, and we'll fix it. And this is how we're going to fix it. We'll fix it. We'll do it this way." But I'll back him. You say why? Because that's what I'm supposed to do, isn't it? That's the way we ought to run our homes. Everybody doing okay? Try not to live as a decoy in life. Be real. Don't be a decoy. I got these little turkey decoys that you put out in turkey season. You just kind of unfold them and pop them open and put them on a little stick, and it looks like turkeys out there. You put a little call in your mouth. And turkeys come down. They come to those things thinking they're other turkeys. Believe me, I understand turkey talk. I'm around turkeys all the time. Can I tell you something? Those are decoys to draw in something, to mislead them, to trick them up so that you can shoot them. That's exactly what guile is. Because we're sinful, we cannot and should not trust that we know what is best. We ought to trust what God says is best. Every one of us is going to make a mistake. Brother Stoltz and I were talking just earlier. I believe in being loyal, but I believe in being loyal to principle, not just to a person. Because people change. God's word doesn't change. I've watched people who are good people, strong leaders that were strong, even assistant pastors, that as the pastor changed, they changed with them, and everybody was shocked. I'm not. Their loyalty was to a person, not to a principle. Your loyalty ought to be to the word of God, not to Brother so-and-so. Your loyalty ought not to be to me. It ought to be to the word of God. I believe if you're right, loyal to the right principles, you'll be loyal to the right people.
Yes.
I believe that.
Amen.
By the way, I've practiced that for many, many decades. Don't mislead with your words at home. Fellas, you can get your wife and family to do whatever you want just by the way you say it. You can mislead them. Kids, you can mislead at school. My dog ate my homework, and you don't even have a dog. It's called lying. At work, oh boy, do people have a good way of misleading at work. At church, etc. Let's not be guilty of speaking guile. Number three, the Bible says that we should eschew evil. Now, let him eschew evil. That's an interesting word. It means avoid or go out of the way from. If I'm going to eschew Brother Stoltz, means I'm going to avoid him at all costs.
I'm going to walk all the way around the room so I don't have to talk to him, and go this way so that I'm not even close to him, so that I don't have to be near him. That's what you're supposed to do with evil. You're to eschew or avoid it at all cost, go around it, and not be near it. That means this: we ought not listen to evil. That means don't listen to gossip. Did you know gossip needs an ear? I don't listen to it. I'm very careful about what I let go into my ears. Trust me. Very careful. That means evil music. If music is evil, don't listen to it. I don't care if it's got a Christian name to it. If it's got evil music to it, whether it has the Bible to it, it's wrong. Evil is evil.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing okay? I'm talking about evil reports in the news. America has such an evil news system that we now convict people based on allegation, not on fact. If you listen, and it's hard to do, and I don't suggest doing it, but recently I listened to a 30-minute news segment, and there was only one of the stories where there was an actual trial and somebody was found guilty. The rest of it was all allegations, but it was made out to be that they were the pervert and this, that, and the other thing the whole way through. We think because somebody's been accused of it that they're guilty. That is wrong. Accusation doesn't mean you're guilty. Jesus was accused of blasphemy, but he was not guilty. Everybody doing okay? Let's be careful that we don't listen to evil. Let's avoid it. Let's make sure we avoid evil topics. Avoid it in your conversations. Avoid it in your entertainment. Avoid it in the books you read. Avoid it in the movies you watch, in the games you play. I'm telling you, we are ruining Christians by what we read, by what we watch, and by what we play. If it is evil, avoid it. And I'm just, I don't know how else to say it. Be careful what you wonder why Christian kids grow up and they can turn out to be such hellions. You let me see what they read. You let me look at their music. You let me look at their video games. You let me see their Facebook and their Twitter accounts. You let me see those things, and I'll tell you why they are what they are, and why they're and who they're hanging around. Avoid evil. You're going to have to go out of the way on purpose. It's one of those things. There are people in this room. You struggled with alcohol. It doesn't make sense to drive by 6 bars on your way to work then. Go a different route. If it tempts you, go a different way. It's that simple. Now, don't get mad at somebody that does drive down that way if they're not tempted by it. I can drive by a bar all day long and it doesn't tempt me. I've seen what alcohol does to people. It's stupid and I have no desire to drink it. I'm not above it, but it doesn't bother me. Everybody doing okay? But don't be evil. Be careful. Avoid it. Go around it. Boy, I got to hurry here. And I want to say so much here. Miss Martha's about my best cheerleader over here. She's about to get me to preach, and I wasn't ready to cut loose. You've heard me in recent weeks say a lot about this Marvel comic stuff and all this kind of stuff. It's evil. It is using evil powers, quote unquote, for good. Look at how they're dressed. If your daughter came home dressed like that, you'd turn her over your knee. But it's okay for you to do it? Watch it? Compare it with what that says. It's that simple. We think because it's a cartoon, it's okay. No, it's not. Now, Tom and Jerry, that's okay. The cat gets beat every time. That's a wonderful thing. Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd. You know, Charlie Brown. and all those things. You know, well, yeah, Roadrunner. And, and anyway, you know, but there, sorry, my cartoon days caught up with me there. But we're to eschew evil. We're to avoid evil. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's evil. Harry Potter. Evil. Look at all the witchcraft and vampirism and Satanism that is involved in most everything that's going on. I've been out of the video game age for a while, but every once in a while I'm near it. The pentagrams and the Satanist stuff that's involved in the average video game would shock you. There is so much witchcraft involved in almost all video games anymore. It's terrible. And I'm not going there. I got to go on. Number four. The next part says, and do good. Do good. You want to learn to love life? Do good. Bible says that Jesus went about doing good. James 4:17, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I'm going to make a statement here. Don't just think about doing good. Do good. It doesn't say think about good. It says do good. That's an action word. It means get up off your blessed assurance and go do something that's good. Somebody say amen. Do something good every day of your life. Amen. What was the old Boy Scout motto? Do a good deed every day. That is a biblical principle. Go do something good. Who was it that told me they were doing good because they... Oh, it was Wiley today. He helped Arlene up the steps. He helped an old lady up the steps. that was this morning. Now, he said it. I didn't. All right? Now, wait a minute. But do good every day. Can I tell you something? You want to learn how to love your kids? Do good with them every day. You want to love your wife? Do good for her every day. You want to love your husband? Do good for him every day. You know, God says, do good. Do you want to love life? Do good. Go hold the door for somebody. Go be kind to somebody. I was in line at a store here a week or so ago. I think it was down at Aldi's. I was getting a couple bottles of water, and there was a lady ahead of me, and she had a kid in the cart, and she had a kid on this hip, and she's trying to pay everything. And she was about a dollar and a half short, and she was going to have to put the kid down to dig through her purse. I said, hold on, reached in my pocket and gave the lady two extra ones and said, just take care of it for her. Oh, no, sir, you don't have... I said, it's fine. I said, lady, it'd take you longer to find what you got with all that stuff going on than for me to do this. I said, and it's fine. I said, if I need $2 later, I'll come see you, all right? Oh, wait a minute. It was a buck and a half or so. No big deal. Do something good for somebody. Say, well, I don't have that kind of money to do that. I don't always either, but it was fun doing it for once. That poor little gal, if that was my wife and she had to go through that, I'd want somebody to help her. Amen. Been there. Do good everywhere you go. Do good at home. Don't just sit there with your t-shirt and your belly hanging out, sitting on the couch bossing everybody, go do everything. Everybody doing all right? Man, that was getting a little personal, wasn't it? Do good at work. You know, you get mad at your boss, why don't you get him a cup of coffee? I knew how my bosses liked their coffee. Knew how every one of my supervisors liked their coffee. Learned how to make sure that the coffee pot was fresh by the time our shift started so that they had coffee. Made sure that their coffee cup was filled the way they wanted it. Usually by lunch break, my bosses were saying, Craig, that's enough coffee. I'm done for the night. Because I made sure their coffee cup stayed full as well as running my machines. Be good to people at work. Instead of being such an old crab when you get up to the lady that is taking your money, why don't you be kind to her once? I mean, it's always my goal to make that person smile. And sometimes that's a job. Especially if they've had people like you in front of you. Ouch. Well, that one was mean. Well, turn them into something nice. Make it a game. I was in store one day, and I don't remember. It was one of my daughter and one of my boys, and they said, this lady, she was really rough. One of my kids said, Dad, you got your hands full on this one. You going to try it? I said, I'm going to try it. It wasn't 30 seconds later, and I had the lady smiling. We walked away, and I don't remember which of my children. They said, Dad, how do you do that? I said, you just got to find it. Now, wait a minute. Be kind at restaurants. Be good to the waitress.
Yes.
We took Dr. Anderson out last time he was here, my wife and I. He was flirting with the waitresses. I mean, like, you wouldn't believe. And the guy's got a $50,000 or $100,000 ring on that hand, a $100,000 ring on this hand, and a $50,000 watch on that hand. He's got $250,000 on two hands. He's showing him his rings and his watch. And he reaches in his pocket and pulls out a tract and starts witnessing to him, won that waitress to the Lord. I thought, you slick old man. He says, it's good getting old, Brother Bush, because I can get away with some flirting and they don't care. He said, good way to get them saved. He knew what he was doing. Now, wait a minute. Be good at school. Do good at school to somebody. Do good at church. You know, don't expect it to be done to you. The Bible says you do it.
That's good.
Too many times we're looking for good to be done to us, and we're going to wait till it's done to us before we do it to someone else. No, do good whether it's done back to you or not.
That's right.
And lastly, and I'm done, seek peace and ensue it. The word ensue means follow or press forward. It literally means to go after like a prosecuting attorney. God says we are to seek and ensue peace. Peace is not the absence of strength or battle. It is the result of strength and battle. Peace is a result of victory in war, not the absence of war. Very little peace is brought about with negotiation. The only time that works is when you got enough power behind you to back it up, and if they don't, you're going to womp them.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know why Trump is wiping up the world right now? Because he's got the power to back it.
Amen.
He's got a backbone.
Amen.
He doesn't have a jelly spine. Yeah, good old General Mattis. I love looking at that guy. He's got dark circles under his eyes and bags that are about that big every day. Do you know that man won't talk on the telephone to anybody that he has conflict with? If he's got a problem in Afghanistan, he gets on a plane and flies there and deals with it that day and flies back. If he's going to talk to somebody in China, he gets on a plane and flies over there. He won't talk to him on the phone. He said, I want to do business face to face. Now, I want to get in their grill, and I'm going to grill them. And that's what he does. You say, he always looks tired. Yeah, but he's getting something done. And the world's scared to death of America right now.
Amen.
My favorite part of the president's speech last Tuesday night. He'd say something and all the Democrats are sitting on their blessed assurance and everybody else is cheering. And he would go this way. Say, what was that, power?
Yes, sir.
Old Nancy Pelosi just about sucked her dentures down her throat, man. Crying Chucky Schumer had his head down most of the time. Yeah. Can I tell you something? Peace is a result of conquest, not sitting there doing nothing. We didn't have peace in the world for the 8 years we had the other idiot in there.
Nope.
We're finding more peace. We're winning battles. You get peace by winning battles, not by letting the other guy win. Peace is a result of obedience to right and right principles and enduring the opposition. Do you know how you eventually end up not having to paddle your children? You paddle them when they're young, every time they do wrong, in those wrong areas, so eventually you don't have to do it as much later.
That's right.
If you fight the battle when they're 2 and 3 and 4, you don't have to fight it as bad when they're 12 and 13 and 14. True. But you let them get by with it at 2, 3, and 4, and 5. You wait till they're 12, 13, 14, 15, and you're going to have your hands full, and you can't win that battle. They got to know they're not going to win.
That's right.
Plain and simple. You got to play king on the mountain, and you got to be king on the mountain. Peace is knowing that you're doing right by the word of God no matter what goes on around you.
How have I had peace about this project? Because I knew we were doing what God wanted us to do. And we kept doing it God's way. I couldn't always see what was around the corner. I didn't always know what was coming the next day. When they added up $95,000 to it, I just about wanted to give up. I was taking my wife out that night. Before we left, I looked at the clock and I said, "That's it. I have done all I can do. I don't know what else to do, but it's all yours. It's your house. It's your work. You finance it." I looked at the clock. We had prayer breakfast the next morning. After prayer breakfast, a man came to my office, sat down, and said, "Last night at this time, my wife and I were talking, and he handed me a check for $25,000. Do you know that it was the exact same time I looked at God and said, 'That's it. I'm done. I've had enough. It's yours. You finance it.'" To the minute. To the very minute. Huh. Guess he was just waiting for me to give in. I had no idea what was coming this last week. You talk about getting hit by a train. It ran over and backed up to make sure it got me. And then pulled forward again. Lord have mercy. Now, wait a minute. I can't always see, but I know we're doing right. I know we're doing it the right way. In the first 5 Sundays of this year, we've had 23 visitors and about over a dozen people walk an aisle for salvation. That's not the folks saved out soul winning. That's not too bad.
Praise God.
Can I tell you something? We're going to keep doing our part and watch God take care of the rest.
Yeah.
That gives you peace. Do I always know where it's coming from next? Nope. But I just keep looking up and say, "It's yours. We've done what we can do. We'll go forward." I'm done. God wants you to love life. He wants you to see good days. Then let's love life and let's see good days. How do we do it? Very simply, we are to not refrain our tongue from evil. We're to lips that speak no guile. We should eschew evil. We're to do good and we're to seek peace and ensue it. It's that simple. You want to have a good home? Do that in your home. Find out how fun it can be. Life can be great. It really can. You'll find life is really exciting. Can I tell you something? The devil's fun doesn't always end up fun. Always a hook in it. Always a fall in it. Always a calamity wrapped behind it. Not every day is full of good. But we can see good days if we'll follow his recipe. He made us. He made life. Don't you think he has a better recipe than you do? How you doing on your own? Maybe we ought to try his way. Well, it just doesn't make sense to me. Yeah, because you've been going down the wrong recipe. If the same thing happens every time you do it, maybe you ought to change what you do. When I was pitching, when I was a young man, I was having troubles with a certain type of pitch that I threw. And I didn't, is all it took was a change of location with the pressure on my finger. I had all the mechanics down, but I was pressing on the ball in the wrong with the wrong finger at the wrong place. And the coach said, "Here's the problem, son. You won't listen to me. You keep having the same problem because you keep throwing it the same way. Why don't you listen to somebody that doesn't throw it the wrong way?"
Ooh.
That hurt. when I did what the coach said, the ball did what it was supposed to do. I said, Shazam. Isn't that amazing? And I learned how to throw that pitch. And he said, you can practice all you want, but practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. If you practice the wrong way, you're going to perform the wrong way. Just because you did it doesn't mean it was right. Ooh, I learned a lot. Let me tell you. To this day, I can throw multiple different types of pitches. I think at one time I had 11 different pitches I could throw. Say why? Because I listened to coaches that taught me how to throw those pitches. Now, I can't throw them anymore. Been way too long and I'm too old and the arm's out of shape. I can still dance it a little bit, but not like I used to. But I know where those points are on the ball. You want to throw a curveball, slider. You want to throw a splitter. You want to throw roundhouse curve, changeup curve. You want to throw it sidearm. You want to throw a sinker. You want to tail it left, tail it right. Four seam, two seam. It's there. You just got to learn where to put your fingers on the ball and how to snap your wrist. You want to throw a screwball? That's a whole different pitch. But there's a way to do it. You just got to listen to the people that know what they're doing. Not try to figure it out on your own. God has the recipe for life. He wants us to love life and see good days.